Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to VFIN Solutions Limited Q4 FY2026 earnings conference call hosted by Valorem Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Purvangi Jain from Valorem Advisors. Thank you and over to you.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all. My name is Purvangi Jain from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of VFIN Solutions Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the fourth quarter and financial year ended 2026. Before we begin, let me mention a quick cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risk and uncertainties, which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's belief as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to the management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings conference call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial performance for the quarter under review. Now let me introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call. We have with us Mr. Raja Devnath, Chairperson and MD, Mr. Gautam Udani, Whole-Time Director and COO, and Mrs. Payal Maheshwari, CFO. Without any delay, I request Mr. Raja to start with his opening remarks. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Purvangi. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining our FY26 earnings call. Before we get into the numbers, I want to set the context for how we are thinking about VFIN. Now, as you know, that for the last few years, VFIN, all of you know, largely as a supply chain finance tech company. But that was a starting point, and it continues to be a very, very important part of our business. But over the last couple of years, what we have done is we have deliberately been building VFIN into a much broader BFSI tech platform. So I would say that when you're looking at this year's numbers, please don't look at these numbers just as an SCF company. Look at them as numbers of a company that is building a multiple enterprise-grade banking tech product company on a common architecture for banks, NBFCs, and financial ecosystems globally. Now, that is the central story of this deck that you have in front of you. Now, the core message which I would want to leave you all with after this is we are building and we are the single product company which is moving from a single product company to a multi-product BFSI tech platform. But the products that we are now selling not only include supply chain finance, but they have trade finance, cash management, internet banking, LOS, LMS, collections, risk and fraud management. So you see multiple products. But mind it, these are not random products. These are all products that sit around the same customer, what? The banks and NBFCs, and around the same business problems, which is how financial institutions digitize transaction banking, working capital finance, lending, and collections. So the larger vision is very simple, that whenever banks should think of banking transformation, specifically in transaction banking and working capital, we want them to think of a VFIN. That's the story. If we move to our next slide, slide number two, which is all about giving a snapshot of how FY26 happened. So there are five things that I would like to highlight here. First, that the listed entity has scaled. That's the good news. And we are seeing that the standalone revenue itself has grown to close to 71 crores. We have reported EBITDA, which has grown to 38 crores. Which is again 122% increase and the PAT of around 18.2 crore. So what these numbers show is that the core listed entity has delivered strong growth. The second piece is around the product story. That it has expanded materially. So we now have a broad suite of products that we just spoke about. And we were building products in the last couple of years, but this year is the first year where we actually have the products ready. The third is we have started the process of simplifying the structure that we have seen over the years. And eStorify, GlobePF, they were proposed to be amalgamated into VSIM solutions. The BSC SEBI process is completed and the matter has moved to NCLT. Now, this is important because the business is already being built and we are operating the business as an integrated product platform, but the legal structure needs to catch up to this reality. Fourth pillar is around the PSP exchange and the robust pipeline that we have, and both are showing great momentum. Now, our qualified enterprise pipeline on our products that I spoke about is close to $18 million. And alongside, PSP exchange continues to move from the platform build-out stage that we were in to actual operating throughput. And finally, FY27, this is the forward-looking thing. The FY27 is all about execution. It's the boring part of the journey now. So the exciting part of building products, I think we have just crossed that hump. FY27 is going to be boring. It's going to be about execution. It's going to be about moving our sales discipline to become more from relationship selling, going into enterprise selling, our implementations rather than them being heroes on some implementation, being repeatable on the implementation, and PSP exchange on the actual throughput. So the focus will on 27 is going to be about monetization, cross-sell, and converting the pipeline that we have, the very strong pipeline. Moving to the next slide, this is important. This is an important slide because we have a lot of numbers. You have standalone, you have console numbers, and you keep hearing about these multiple products. But there are three ways to look at VFIN today. The first is a management view. How does the VFIN management look at the VFIN company? Okay. This is internally, VFIN is focused towards being a product platform. So when we say that, it means VFIN Solutions, eStorify, GlobePF. So some of you have heard this earlier, but there are always new investors who keep coming in, so it's important for them. So VFIN management view is the product platform is VFIN Solutions, plus eStorify, plus GlobePF. Now, from a product perspective, this is the integrated platform. What's the integration? SCF, PSB exchange, trade finance, cash, internet banking, LOS, LMS, fraud risk, GenAI, collections, all of this. This is the product view, and this is the management view when we look at numbers. The second pillar is the standalone number. So this is the statutory reporting that we do for VFIN Solutions Limited. This is our listed entity. This does not include eStorify, GlobePF, and any other businesses. Nothing about our, we have some acquisitions also, nothing from those also. The third, the consolidated number, this captures the broader group as per accounting consolidation rules. So the simplest way to understand this is product story is one integrated platform. The standalone number is the listed entity. The console number is the wider group. Now, until the amalgamation is complete, investors will have to keep these three lenses in mind when you're thinking of VFIN. Moving on to the next slide. This is, I spoke about how management views the number and what do those numbers translate into. Okay? Now, if you see on the left-hand side, this is the product company perimeter is what we are talking. Okay? So VFIN has SCF, eStorify has PSB exchange and the fintech platforms and the network platforms. That's where we do all the work around getting in business from the PSB exchange and providing tech to the fintechs who are working with PSB exchange. GlobePF, the third company in the mix, has trade finance, cash management, and other related banking solutions like corporate internet banking, retail internet banking. They all sit under GlobePF. Now, operationally, these are all connected. Yeah, strategically, they are connected. Customer base is similar. Therefore, the sales motion is same. Product architecture is the same, that we have a common platform across all of these products. So the objective is, this is one integrated listed platform. All of you bring them all in. And that's what we are working towards. Now, if you look at the management view of this proposed amalgamation perimeter of these three companies, there the revenue for FY26 was 91.75 crores with EBITDA of 44.7 crore, which works out to a 48.7% EBITDA margin, okay, with a PAT of 23.6 crore. That is what these numbers are when management looks at. So if we say last year we were at X, where are we this year? This is what we want to see as a product company. Now, this is not a statutory substitute for standalone or console numbers, but it's useful because this shows what is the core product perimeter looks like once the structure is simplified. So from 1st April, now that this is all with NCLT, our numbers from 1st April this year, when we look at numbers, these are the numbers that we will be focusing on. If you move to the next slide, this question we get a lot, even from our old investors, that why is it that supply chain finance gives VFIN the right to win in BFSI technology? Now, what is the great thing here? And this is one of the most important strategic slides in the deck. Now, the question you may ask is, why should a company that started with supply chain finance be able to sell trade finance, cash, internet, banking, these risk products, which where so many others have not been successful? And the answer to that is that supply chain finance is not an isolated product. It's a corporate banking product. It sits inside a bank's transaction banking and working capital ecosystem. This is the toughest part. It sits within that. So it connects the anchor, suppliers, dealers, payments, collections, limits, risk, core bank system. All of these are connected in supply chain financing. So when we implement supply chain finance for a bank, we are just not a shallow technology relationship. Okay? So what we are getting into actual banking operations. That means we understand workflows, approvals, accounting, risk, repayment, the corporate behavior. So this is what gives us the right to have the next conversation. And this is what we are seeing time and again. So trade finance is right adjacent to supply chain finance. Cash management is adjacent. Internet banking is adjacent. LOS, LMS are adjacent. Collections are adjacent. Fraud and risk is adjacent. So you see many adjacencies we are talking about. All of these are adjacent to supply chain finance. And that is the reason why we did not decide that let's build products just and make multiple products. The strategy was we were expanding from a strong entry point into products that was solving adjacent banking problems for the same institutions. Okay, this is how wallet share increases, and this is how we will see deal sizes increase, and we will see that in the subsequent slides. And this is how VFIN becomes strategically relevant to the bank. If we move to the next slide, this slide explains how we think of the product portfolio. Now, there are three broad layers. The first layer at the top are the products that are already monetizing, which is our supply chain financing and our LOS products. Because these are live revenue engines and they have customers already. The second layer is the entry and differentiator products. What are they? Your LMS, collections, fraud and risk products, your Gen AI products. Now, these are the products which help us deepen the relationship with the bank. And sometimes these products are also opening doors. And they are also helping us expand within existing accounts that we have. The third layer that you see at the bottom is the strategic IP layer, where basically our trade finance, cash management, corporate internet banking, retail internet banking, these are sitting there. So these are large enterprise systems. These take much longer to sell. Anyway, supply chain takes long to sell, but these take longer to sell. They take longer to implement. but they also have much larger wallet potential and longer term value. That's the critical part. So the key point is that all of these things, these products that you see on this slide, are all being built on one shared architecture. That's what we call the VFIN 4.0. Common services, reusable components, common APIs, and all aimed at one banking client base. So the value for us is what? We should not be selling one product to one bank. The value is in selling multiple products into the same banking relationship over a period of time. Because that's what gives us higher wallet share. That's what makes our relationship with the bank sticky. This is critical. If we move to the next slide, slide number 8, where we have the simpler version of the FY26 standalone financial performance. Okay, so you will see that our revenues have gone up. Standalone operating revenue has gone up by close to 90%. Okay, from 37.32 has gone up to 70.74. That's close to a 90% year-on-year jump. You see our EBITDA margins on a standalone basis, those have gone up by close to 800 basis points, and they are now at 53.89%. If you look at our diluted full year EPS, they are at 7 rupees. They are 50% higher than last year. If you look at our PAT margins, they are lower than last year. But that is only basically because of our depreciation finance costs, which have increased. And this is linked with our ongoing product investment cycle. So standalone, the company has delivered strong revenue growth and strong EBITDA expansion that can be seen here on a standalone basis. If you move to slide 9, that's the audited consolidated financial results that we have for Q4 and FY26. Okay. That's the one which we have the chart, the revenue bridge is there. Now, this revenue bridge is very interesting because what it does is it bridges the standalone numbers with the consolidated view of numbers. So you see standalone revenue is 70.74. On top of that, you add the proposed company perimeter we spoke about, E35 Globe TS. Okay, so that's 21 crores from there. That takes us to 91.75. On top of that, you add further 253 crores worth of revenues from our other group service entities, controlled entities. That, therefore, takes it up to 345 crores. Okay, so that's the revenue bridge which I wanted to show you. Because this is important because this very clearly separates the core product company story that we have from the broader accounting consolidation that we have to do. So the broader group scale is evident here. It's important, it's evident, and it's a key parameter. The key parameter that you should watch out is a product company platform that we are building and simplifying. So look at the 91.75 and look at the scale that the broader group brings in. So yes, the consolidated revenue has grown sharply. And margins therefore should be read in that context because there's an ongoing product investment which is happening. Plus, all of these companies are at different stages of maturity. Some are still being invested in, some are service lines, some are service industries. The margin profiles out there are very different. So that's the way to think about it. So what we have said is what we are doing now is we are simplifying the structure, integrating the product companies. And we have said earlier that our White Rivers Media, which is there, that is, we had said this earlier also, that will be going up for listing on the main board this year. So as a group, we'll have two entities, VFIN Solutions Limited, which will be the product entity, and then White Rivers Media, which will be the services entity. That's how to think of the VFIN group. If we move to the next slide now, this is, I'm sure many of you were looking forward to this slide. This is the most important slide. It's the most important forward-looking slide in the deck. You see, the qualified pipeline that we have is close to $80 million across 58 active qualified banking opportunities. But what is the important point here? It is not the size of the pipeline, but the nature of the pipeline. Because if you see, 75% of this pipeline is non-supply chain finance. That means the market no longer looks at us as a supply chain finance company only. Also, 27 out of the 58 banks in the pipeline are evaluating more than one product module with us. That is a very, very important signal. Because what it means, our multi-product strategy goal that we have, that is starting to show up in actual sales conversations. Very important. Also, geographically, 70% of the pipeline is now international. It's not an India story. 70% of the pipeline is international, and very clear bets that we are seeing, very clearly concentrated across Southeast Asia, Middle East, South Asia. Okay, you are seeing early shoots in Africa also. When I say South Asia, that is ex-India, with India is strong. India is at 30%. But Southeast Asia and the Middle East are again very, very strong for us. So what is it that this slide is saying? Three things. Non-SCF demand, very clearly visible. International expansion, very clearly visible. And multi-product enterprise selling, we are visible. So now, obviously, as investors, remember, this pipeline is not revenue until it is converted. So FY27 is all about execution. The execution is going to be important. But directionally, this gives us great confidence that the platform strategy that we had started with over the last couple of years that we were playing out is resonating with the market. If we move to the next slide, which is again something that people are looking forward to, is the PSB exchange slide. Okay. Now, this is moving very clearly from a build-out phase to a throughput phase. Now, on the lender side, if you will notice here on the left-hand side top corner, the lender network that we are tracking, there are 32 integrations that we are tracking as we speak. Three have gone live completely. Five are work in progress. And when we say three are live, it means at least one of our products are live on the three. In some of them, there are two products. So when I say product, it means within supply chain finance, there is supplier financing, there is factoring, there is the dealer finance. So at least one of them would have gone live with these three banks. Five are work in progress and 24 are yet to start. But important is there are 32 lenders in the pipeline for whom we have to do integrations. On the sourcing partner side now, there are 42 integrations that we are tracking. Six have gone completely live, 10 are work in progress, and 26 are yet to start. So this year is all about getting these integrations up and running. So at a platform level, throughput is very good. We are seeing 88 corporate deals are active at various stages. At various stages, and on the lead to at the bank stage, there are 88 corporate deals which are active. And this number is very telling. Please remember, there is no dearth of banks in the country. There is no dearth of trades in the country. All of these banks, all of these corporates that we're talking about, they are today banking with some or the other bank. The question is, despite that, why are they flocking to this platform, to a new platform? And the reason is that PSB exchange solves a problem for these corporates, which has been a black hole for them. That one single platform, one single place from where they can get access to all of these various banks, including the largest public sector banks. Okay. So cumulative requirements of 22,000 crores, they have requested on the platform, and approved limits at various stages are 5,400 crores. Okay. And this is the most important number, because once these limits are approved, this is the main thing. Once a bank approves limits to the anchor, then this moves from the anchor. The anchor then starts giving you vendors. They start giving you dealers. These limits will then have to be allocated and bifurcated amongst them. And that is when the disbursements will start. But the most important job of getting these anchors, the limits approved, has been done. So now it's only a question of when these limits will be translated and sub-allocated to these dealers and suppliers. So this is an ecosystem infrastructure that we are building, which is connecting lenders, sourcing partners, corporates, and all the financing activities. And remember, ecosystems take time to build. Now, this early period is all about integrations, lender onboarding, sourcing partner connectivity, corporate activation. These are all that we have been focusing on. And once the rails are in place, throughput can start scaling. So that's not something that we have been pushing. We've been pushing more in getting the rails in order. Focus is very clear, increase the live integrations, get the transaction flows happening on the platform, and then convert this activity into meaningful platform throughput. That is the sequencing that we have to look at. Let me just take a pause here. Yeah. There are a few more slides in the deck, but these are all around historical, standalone, and consolidated financial statements and balance sheets. We've included them just from the completeness and reference, but I don't want to spend the time in taking you through that. Okay. Let me just summarize the story before we move to Q&A. So one, the standalone listed entity has delivered very strong growth. Revenue has scaled up. EBITDA has expanded. Business continues to remain profitable while we invest in product IPs. Second part, the consolidated numbers show that the wider BFIN group has achieved much larger scale. And as I mentioned earlier, the consolidated numbers have to be read along with the current group structure, subsidiaries, and controlled entities. Third story, the product story has changed materially. BFIN is no longer only a supply chain finance company. It remains a strongest entry point, yes, but we are now building and selling a broader BFSI tech platform across transaction banking, lending, collections, risk, AI-led solutions. Fourth, the proposed amalgamation is an important step. It is simplifying the structure and make our life and your life as investors also easier because we can make it cleaner for you to read our numbers. Fifth, the pipeline gives us great confidence. The fact that 75% of the qualified pipeline is non-supply chain finance, 70% is international. Almost 50% of the banks in the pipeline are evaluating more than one product tells us that the market is beginning to see BFIN as a multi-product platform company. And finally, PSB Exchange is moving from a platform build-out to an operating throughput stage. The integration, sourcing partner network, corporate requirements, approved limits, they're all moving in the right direction. So we're very happy about that. So FY26 was all about scale, platform expansion, structural modification, and simplification. FY27 is going to be, as I said, the boring part of the job. I am not going to come to you and say anything new things that we are building. We are going to be sweating out all the products that we have built already and focusing on execution, converting the pipeline into deals, and once the deals get converted, actually executing and monetizing all of the work that we have done. Okay, so that is what the focus of 27 is going to be. In a couple of months' time, by July, we'll be eligible to go on to the main boards. That's something else that we all as investors have to look forward to. So that's one thing, plus White Rivers Media getting listed. So these are the things that I leave you with. With that, I'll stop here. We have time now, and I'll now be happy to take questions from you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The first question is from the line of Amit from Roma Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Okay, great. So from the bid pipeline that we have, what do you think, what do you expect our success ratio to be? Fair to say maybe one third or so can be our success ratio?
Much more. If it's one third, I'd be very sad. It's much more. But what I would say is from the pipeline perspective, at least 25% of this pipeline, we should see conversion over the next 6 months itself. That's the guidance I can give you.
Okay, perfect. And on the, you know, the corporate transaction that you are doing for amalgamating the companies, so what will be, you know, after the transaction is completed, what will be promoter shareholding, you know, what is the, apart from simplification, is there any other objective in mind?
No, I'm sorry, we lost your audience between.
If I got the question right, the question is about what will be the promoter shareholding in the merged entity. Got it right?
Yeah, correct.
So the promoter holding is going to be 30. Promoter holding after, so there are warrants also. So once the entire, all the warrants are exercised and the merger has happened, the promoter holding will be 39.41.
Okay, perfect. And my next question is on the PSB exchange. So what is the actual transacted volume currently like for Q4 on the PSB exchange? And how do you see that ramping up from here?
So as I said, the transaction volumes are, when you look at transaction volume, it's supposed to look at what are the approvals that you have at various stages. Now, that is the first level of transaction. Because how does the transaction work? Let me explain that. First, the bank has to give an approval to the large corporate for either a supplier financing line or a dealer financing line. That itself is the most important part, which takes time. Once that is given, then the corporate will bring in a list of suppliers and dealers and present it to the bank, saying, now whatever line you have given me, please bifurcate that line amongst these players. Banks will then have to bifurcate that line. Once the bank has bifurcated that line and distributed it amongst these various suppliers and dealers, that's when the suppliers and dealers can start requesting for financing. So we are right now at the first stage of the transaction where the approvals are in place. We have now also started getting up by a distribution of those limits to the players below, which is the suppliers and dealers. So that's what transaction on that side of dealers and suppliers requesting for financing is what you will see in this quarter now.
Okay, got it. Perfect. And my last question on the White River Media. We started tracking the company recently. So can you just update on what, you know, that business is and how it will be listed separately and what is the thought process there?
White River Media is arguably India's largest independent digital content creation and distribution company. So in last 10 movies that you would have seen, 8, they would have promoted. So they're very strong on entertainment, very strong in sports. That company is doing extremely well. That company is going in for a listing. So the DRHP should be filed around September, I assume. And listing is expected this year. That's the idea of the company.
So how much do you hold in that company?
We have a substantial stake in that, but because of this amalgamation, there are some financial transactions which are happening right now, so I can't give you the exact number right now. They are up for grabs, but we'll soon be able to share that with you.
Right, thanks. That's it from my side. All the best.
Thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Matthew Harris from Seven Canyons Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
It's very soft. Your voice is muffled. Could you speak a little louder?
Okay. How is this better?
I'll try. It's not really, but let me try.
Is this better?
Yeah, this is better.
Okay, sorry about that. I'm wondering if you can tell me a little bit about what you would expect CapEx to be this year and what goes into that and maybe the difference between kind of what you would spend maintenance-wise on CapEx versus new investment.
Okay. Payal, you can come in here in terms of giving the actual numbers that we see for this year and the logic behind it, I'll give it.
So, BFIN standalone, TX is 107 crore. At a product level, that is BFIN, Eteris, and Loop Tier, the CAPEX is 130 crore. in terms of numbers. And consolidated entities, at a consolidated level, the CAPEX is 187 crore, which includes all our other step-down subsidiaries.
So Michael, from a CAPEX perspective, I'll just complete the, because you asked the question, I'll just complete it. From a CAPEX perspective, these are CAPEX which go into building the product IP. So anything which is a reusable IP, anything that's a product in which you can take whatever work you are doing, you will be putting it into the core product and then reselling that time and time again is what is classified as a CAPEX, and that's what it capitalizes.
Okay, so you said for the consolidated numbers, was the 187 crore for this year, for FY27, or was that for the FY26?
FY26, we will not be able to share any forward-looking numbers as of now.
Suffice to say, it's going to be lower than this year's number.
Okay.
We are nearing the end of our product IP cycle, because over the last 2 years we have been heavily investing in our products, and as I have said at the start itself, that we are at the fag end of our product journey. We have built out. This year is going to be all about monetizing what we have built. So new builds are going to be much lower than last year.
Okay, that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Paresh Chaudhary from Latent Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
So first of all, congratulations on a great set of numbers. So regarding the PSB exchange, in the quarter two call, you said that, you know, we have a 7-year exclusive deal. So has that started with the, you know, first bank onboarding, or will it start after all the banks have onboarded?
No, it has started. It has started with the first bank onboarding.
Okay. And also the pricing, which you explained to us, that 65 right. basis points and its bifurcation. So in that 15 basis points are for, you know, manpower, if they take the right. manpower for onboarding. So that will be on our payroll, or we'll engage it through some third party?
They are on our payroll. We already have this. We are currently present in 26 locations. So not only is that manpower now available for the banks who are on the PSB exchange platform, for the business which is coming on the platform, we have received requests from some banks where they are signing up that team for also onboarding business which they are bringing outside the platform. That's a very critical requirement which the industry had, and that's why we are invested in that.
Okay, got it. And, you know, on the slide which you showed us, where, you know, you are showing that approval limits are there, which are, you know, part of, which are converted from cumulative requirements. So I noticed that last time the conversion was around 30%, but if you see incrementally, this year it is only 14%. So how do you see this going forward?
No, it is, that's the way is not to look at the cumulative requirement and the approved limits, because as more and more banks come in, just because limits have not been approved, it doesn't mean they are rejected. It means that they are still under processing in some or the other bank. Because the whole concept, so let me explain the concept of PSB exchange. On one side, if you have multiple banks, and if all of these banks have a different risk appetite, they are all going to price that risk separately differently. Therefore, when somebody comes in for a limit request, that limit request can be approved by multiple banks, and these multiple banks can approve it at different price points. After that, whether a corporate takes it or not is a different matter, but approval will happen. So your approval, your approval percentages on the platform will be much, much higher than usual. So don't look at the fact that the approval is 20% or 25% or 30%. All of this will get approved over a period of time. So the entire 22,000 crore will get approved by some or the other bank once they are on the platform.
Okay, got it. And just two more quick clarifications.
Sorry to interrupt you, Paresh. Can I request to come back for a follow-up, please?
Sure.
Thank you. A request to all the participants, kindly limit yourself to two questions per participant and rejoin for a follow-up. Next question is from the line of Harshil, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. I have a couple of questions from my side. First one is 75% of your pipeline is non-SCF. Does that mean SCF growth is slowing down? And the second question is your qualified pipeline is 80 million. So how much of this should convert into revenue in FY27?
I'll take the first question first. When I say 75% is non-supply chain financing, it is not that supply chain finance has gone down. In fact, supply chain finance pipeline itself has gone up. But now, because our overall VFIN company's pipeline has become much larger, and that is because the other products have started contributing to the pipeline. So on a like-to-like basis, supply chain finance, this year the pipeline that we have is much higher than what we had last year, even last quarter. So we are adding continuously supply chain financing. But we are happy that 75% now comes from non-supply chain finance. I hope that explained that we are not going away from supply chain finance. We are just adding in more on top of it. That's one. Second, as I said, that the 80 million, I just answered that 80 million is not something that will come, entirely going to come in this year. We can say over the next 6 months, 25% of this pipeline will get converted. That much I can say right now. Beyond that, it will be too forward-looking.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Ashu Raj, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, Raja. So, one first question is, in the earlier calls, you mentioned that you are looking at implementing at the possibility of implementing a product similar to PSB exchange in other countries as well. So, how has the discussion gone? Is there any concrete steps that have been taken?
So, we are, as I said last time also, there are 6 countries who have evinced an interest in bringing up this platform in those countries. We are in active conversation, but remember, these are all going to be joint ventures. So these things will take its own time, but we expect at least a few of those to fructify in 2027, this year.
Okay. The other question is, we have seen a tremendous amount of growth in last 2 years, right? So how do you see next 2 years? Will it be in similar lines as 2 years, or there will be some slowdown, how do you see next 2-3 years?
You gave me only 2 options, that will it be as good or will it be worse? You didn't ask me, will it be better? So that's the third option.
Yeah.
I think the fact that as investors you will see that earlier, you were a monoline company, product company, but now you have become a company where you have multiple products, large products, deepening relationships, going not just to India, going outside India, PSB exchange ramping up. All of these things, if you put together, I think AI will tell you where we are going. That is going to be much better, much better.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ramesh, individual investor. Please go ahead.
You're muffled a little. Could you come a little closer to the mic?
Yeah. Am I audible now?
Yes.
Yeah. My question, sir, is after the restructuring, I want to know the service business. So how much percentage of product will be held by VFIN? And will there be management control, or it will be like how it is now?
Sorry, I couldn't understand the question. You'll have to repeat it once more. Because the voice is not very clear.
Can you please come in a better reception area?
Am I audible now, sir?
Yes.
Yeah. So my question was, since the restructuring is happening currently, I'm very clear about the product consolidation. How about the service business? Will the management control be there and leading to the reduced operating margins, or will it be like affiliate?
No, so Y-Triple's Media has a very strong management by itself. So you are absolutely right. The product company management remained with us. The Y-Triple's Media management remained with the founders of Y-Triple's Media, and that's the company that they will manage. But because they are a part of our group, we will continue reaping benefits of them being a part of the group.
Yeah, yeah. My question is not just about Y-Triple's. It's about all the service subsidiaries. As I understand, currently in financial year 26, we have the direct management control. So we're reporting the, you know, the revenues 100%, but the percentage of profits are reduced, leading to lower, you know, operating margins, right? Okay. About that aspect I'm asking. So going forward when the restructuring is done, so do we still retain the operating control or management control, or do we just run it as an affiliate?
No, that's something which we haven't arrived at a definite answer on that. That's a good point, Ramesh, and that's something which we keep evaluating internally. But we haven't arrived at a concrete answer. I think closer to end of this year, we'll have an answer.
Thank you. Ramesh, I'll request to come back for a follow-up. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Aryan Gupta, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, go ahead.
Come a little closer to the mic, please.
Is it now audible?
Yeah, let's try.
So thanks for the opportunity. My question is, you are now talking about many products like SCF, credit cash management, internet banking, LOS, LMS, collection risk, and AI as well. So is DTM spreading itself too thin is my question.
Not really, because if you see, the customer is exactly the same. If you remember how I started, I said that the customer is same. The people that we're selling to is usually same in the bank. Okay. In fact, our margins go up when we do something like this. Because it is the dream of every monoline product company to sell multiple products, but to the same customer. If we were to start building products and having to sell to different, not go beyond banking, start going into some other segment, then it would be a challenge. But for us, the fact that we have sold a supply chain finance product in the first place makes it easier for us to have a conversation, say, on trade finance. Once you sell trade finance, it makes it easier to have a conversation on internet banking. So it's actually a boon for VFIN that we now have multiple conversations that we can have with the same client. And because we can now sell multiple products to the same client, our relationship moves from a single vendor, single product vendor, to a strategic partner with the bank.
Thank you. So the line for the participant dropped. We move to the next participant. Next question is from the line of Aniket Gada, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, I'm audible.
Yes, you are.
Thanks. Congrats on a good set of numbers. I got some understanding of the PSP exchange as a product, but just for clarity on it, could you just explain the whole process from, say, company A using the platform for credit and finance to finally getting the funds? Could you just explain the whole process for the platform?
So the way this works is a company comes in first to a fintech, doesn't come in directly to the platform. It first goes to a fintech, who we call sourcing partner. It could be a fintech, or it could be a logistics marketplace. It could be an ERP provider, somebody who is not PSB exchange. They go there. That sourcing partner is the integration that we are talking about. That sourcing partner would have done an integration with PSB exchange. Then the corporate who is there on the sourcing partner's platform requests for financing on the sourcing partner platform. That as a data package then flows in and comes onto the PSB exchange platform. There, data is massaged. There, we collect data from various third-party APIs, create a data package out of it, and then send it ahead to the banks who have already got integrated on the platform. Can people go on mute, please? Okay. Once this data package is sent to the banks, it's sent to all the banks who have been integrated on the platform and who have already configured their gating criteria. Gating criteria means what kind of business they are ready to look at. This data package goes and hits the gating criteria. The bank then has a look at that, what passes through the gating criteria, then requests for additional information, gets on a few calls with the corporate. Once that is done, it goes into the bank's credit committee. All of those approvals happen. Then a term sheet is provided to the corporate, again through the platform. The corporate approves the term sheet. Once the term sheet is approved, post that, a program is set up for that particular corporate onto the platform. Once on both on our platform and on the bank's platform. Then the corporate starts inviting their suppliers and their dealers to come onto the platform, tagged to the program which has been created for them on the platform. These suppliers and dealers come in again through the fintech platform. They are then again underwritten by the bank using the credit criteria which has been agreed with the corporate when the approval was given in the first time. Then the limit which had been given to the corporate is then split and allocated to each of these suppliers and dealers. Post that, the corporate then will raise invoice on the dealers and the dealers can request for financing, or the corporate can approve invoices for the suppliers and the suppliers can request for financing, or the corporate can request for financing on behalf of the suppliers. That's how the entire flow works.
So, thanks for the answer. I just had a quick follow-up on that. Since it's a quite an extensive and exhaustive network, does it indirectly create a moat for the company because the whole process is very lengthy and it's not easily replicated, as we need a company who also has their own sources and dealers and suppliers and a lender network that needs to integrate it to our own software. So are we building a moat around it, and how scalable do you think it will be in the next year? Because we are going into monetizing that asset rather than creating.
So two parts to your question. The first part, in terms of whether it's a moat, absolutely. I think it's one of the best moats that one can create. Previously, another participant had asked a question in terms of the exclusivity. The fact that it's a 7-year exclusivity is there. Beyond that, we would not require it because we would already be integrated with the entire ecosystem within the country, whether it be the banks, NBFCs, or the fintechs. You're already integrated. So there, you don't require an exclusivity when you are the infrastructure. So that is one. And in terms of scaling, the sky is the limit in this because India has a very, very large unmet demand of these corporates. And this is not just a supply chain finance platform. This is a platform on which once this corporate now comes in for supply finance, can tomorrow come in for term lending. The corporate can say, okay, this time I need a 1,000 crore limit for myself. Or the corporate needs external financing. Corporate needs LCs, BGs. The supplier needs term loan. The dealer requires a term loan for a new showroom that they're setting up. So any form of term loan, any form of an overdraft, CC, LC, BGs, all of these are possible for the participants on the platform. So this is the marketplace that you're building. And as we all know, marketplaces, once they start and you start seeing traction on it after a point in time, they take a life of its own. So you get outsized operating leverage on a platform. You can, once you set up a platform, you can go to sleep. Because once I've got the corporate in this year, once the corporate has brought suppliers and dealers in this year, and they start transacting,
as long as the platform is working, we do not even have to go and talk to the corporate or the supplier or the dealer. The business happens by itself because they are taking financing for their business. We don't require to do anything. We have just provided the tech. Tech is working fine. It's humming. Nobody bothers about us.
Thank you. Aniket, I'll request you to come back for a follow-up question. Next question is from the line of Ketan Chera, a retail investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I've got two questions on the balance sheet. One is we've increased our debt position in this financial year, both short-term and long-term, significantly. So I'd like some clarification, like, you know, where are we using this debt, for what purpose have we raised this debt? And second is our trade receivables have also now more than doubled. So, you know, your thoughts, your comments on that, like, you know, and how much time do we expect to receive this money? And the third one is, you know, to one of the previous participants' question, you said that you won't be able to give a capex number for F27. I'd request if you could share that number because, you know, you would have already planned it and it's a pretty standard, you know, thing in the industry that every company, every management would share the capex numbers at least. We are not asking for guidance on the revenues or something, but the capex one, please. Thank you so much. Those are the three questions.
Okay. So the second question I'll take first in terms of the receivables. So yes, our absolute receivable block has gone up, but our top line also has gone up a lot. If you look at the DSO, our DSO is now less than 100 days. Last year it was 130 odd days. Right now it is 99 days. So our DSO has improved drastically. So we are very, very comfortable from the receivable standpoint. Everything is fine out there. To the question, your first question was around, what was the first question? Let me, three questions are difficult. First question, can you just remind me, the first question was on what?
Yeah, on the borrowings, your short-term and long-term
So, on the short-term borrowings have gone, are looking higher because some of the long-term borrowings, which are now going to be paid this year, have moved from long-term to short-term. So that's the reason. So short-term borrowing itself has not gone up, but because the maturity has come down, therefore, the long-term will move to short-term. That's one. On the long-term borrowing side, we continue investing on our IP. And there are some borrowings which are reflecting here. Last borrowing was on the acquisition that we had done on White River, which is again backed by an FD. So that's the long-term borrowing status. So borrowings itself have not gone up, but classification of borrowing has changed from long-term to short-term because of the short-term is showing higher and long-term is backed by FDs, which we had used for acquisition.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Next question is from the line of Arnab, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, Rajesh sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, first of all, congratulations on a great set of numbers. So firstly, I would like to know when you're talking about the loan management system, loan origination system, and the collections, are we thinking like, are these beyond working capital loans? Are these also referring to term loans? Has the scope of our team increased drastically? Is that correct understanding or is it still limited to working capital loans?
No, it's not just working capital. It's term loans, it's overdraft, it's CC, it's all types of loans and not just from the corporate, also retail. Yes, we know that retail is a much more easier play. Corporate is more complex, but if you have a product anyway and if the bank comes to you and asks you for the same platform on the retail side, you very well give it. Because the work that we had done is we spend time in building the product IP. So once product IP is made and we don't have to make any drastic changes to it, you may as well give the same product on the retail side also. So we continue focusing more on the corporate side. Retail is de facto which comes in because the products on the corporate side are that much more complex than the retail side.
My second question is the securitization that we are trying to do. Do we have the MVP, like the minimum viable product as of yet? Like you just said that we are going into a cool-off period. But I thought there was much work pending on that side, and you were actually pretty enthusiastic about that effort, that side of things. So what's happening over there? Are we?
No, we were, but we have put that slightly on the back burner. So therefore, you will see I've not mentioned it anywhere over the last couple of calls also. So the way the world is right now, we rather just focus on the things which are sure shot and big ones. So we do not want to spend time now in creating markets. So securitization was creation of a market. We do not want to spend time in creating a market as on date, because the external situation, the way we see it at a global and a macro level, is not amenable to doing new things right now.
And I would like to know a bit about Epic Indies, because I think that has been dodged at all, like throughout the whole conversation. You didn't mention. There's some update around it. Can you please throw some light on that?
Which one?
Some like ownership issue around Epic Indies. I'm not sure whether I'm getting the name wrong.
No. So there's no ownership issue. There's a governance issue out there that we were not happy with the governance which was being done by the promoters of the company, because of which we have taken a strong exception to that, and therefore we have now taken this to the arbitration. But anyway, they are a very, very small company. They were contributing less than 2% to our consolidated level numbers, and a loss-making company in that sense. So no material impact to us, but just still they were a part of our group, and we were not ready to deal with a company which was not good or strong on governance.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
I would just say that thanks for all the questions that I received, and the numbers that we have shared. These numbers are going to be even better for the next year. So with that, I'll call a close to this meeting.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Ethan Solutions Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect. Thank you.